Well, that's the first task, John. I got past the bicycle. My wife said to me, whatever you do, do not knock over that bicycle. So that's what she thinks of me. But it's great to be here tonight, great to share in not only the meeting tonight, but also over the weekend, tomorrow morning and again tomorrow night. And it's been really, really special to sit here this evening, listen to Revelation and also to Denver. And then everywhere Denver goes, if I'm there, I always say to him, did you bring that thing with you tonight? So I'll never ask him again after the response that he has given to me tonight. But let's come to the Word of God just for a few minutes as we bring our time to a close tonight. And I'll be short, brief, and I hope that what I bring to you this evening will encourage you and bring everything we have thought about this evening in song to a conclusion. So turn with me, please, to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to tell you some things about your God. I'm going to tell you some things about your God. How often have we heard people, especially over these past number of months, leading way back to March time, how often have we heard people say about the very difficult times in which we live? Did God bring this about? What's the reason for this? What's the future for all of us? Well, I'm not going to try and answer all of those questions tonight. But what I'm going to do is to try to encourage your heart so that you will lift your eyes far above the circumstances that you and I find ourselves in this evening and look simply at the great God who has redeemed us, who watches over us, who keeps us, and who will one day bring us home to be with himself. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. What a wonderful psalm that is. And as you and I meet tonight and over the meetings again tomorrow, we've been thinking about another harvest time, and it's lovely tonight to see the building the way that it is. It looks absolutely beautiful, even including the bike. But you know, harvest time's an opportunity for us each one to reflect upon the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God and all the blessings that God in His goodness gives to us every single day, not just at this time of the year when it comes to harvest. And here in Psalm 145, a psalm that's often referred to as David's crown jewel of praise. This is a psalm, and it begins a final group of psalms that all have to do with the subject of praise. And it's good that the people of God should praise the name of their great God and Savior. So let me very quickly tell you some things about your God tonight from this psalm that I hope will encourage you. Now, there are so many of them, I've just got to take four, and I'll be very quick about this. And I want you to go home and not only to rejoice in these things, but to think about them and how personal they are to you and to me as we live and labor for the Lord. First of all, remember, He is glorious in His person. If you read through this particular psalm, you will note that David has much to say about his God, one who is glorious in His person. And I haven't time to do this tonight, but you can do this when you go home, or do it sometime when you come to this particular psalm, because you'll discover that the things that David says to us tonight about God, they are a wonder to behold. For example, he reminds us of God's character and conduct. He shows us our God in all His greatness and in all His glory. He reminds us of God in all His holiness, His majesty and His power. He tells us that God is sovereign over all of creation, and He is transcendent. That means He lives, He dwells, He rules above everything that He has made. You and I could take the rest of the night just dwelling on those simple statements that I have made to you tonight. But that's how David saw his God. That's what encouraged him when the going was tough. That's what helped him to keep trusting whenever things in his world seemed to be out of control. He stood back and he took a look heavenward and he saw his God in all His greatness and glory, and it filled his heart not with fear, it filled his heart with praise and with worship and with adoration. He sums it up like this: His greatness is unsearchable. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. Beloved, there's so much talk in these days about the pandemic. So much talk about what's going to happen today, what's going to happen tomorrow. I wonder what they're going to introduce in 2 weeks. Listen, you and I are not waiting for people to control our lives. Our lives are already in the hand of a great God. A God who sits enthroned upon the very universe that He has made. The problem is so often in the world in which we live that the great Creator has been brought down to the level of His creation. And so often our God in our eyes is far too small. But David says that He's a great God and He's greatly to be praised. He's the only true and living God. He's the one who is sovereign over all the affairs of our world. You go home tonight, sit down, just take a little browse through Isaiah chapter 40. And in verse 9, Isaiah looks heavenward and he says, "Behold your God." And then for the verses that follow, he begins to open up all these beautiful pictures about God. The one who put the stars into space. The one who stretched out the heavens like a pair of curtains. The one who sustains every single thing. That's our God. That's the one tonight whom you and I worship. And that's the one we need to keep our eyes on. So much so that when others come to us with hearts that are filled with fear, wondering what's going to happen, you just calm them down and you shout out with them, "Hallelujah, The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Beloved, tonight, this is our God. He's glorious in his person. The second thing is that he is gracious in his provision. There's no doubt that our God is a great God, but he's also a good God. David sums it up beautifully with these words, verse 15 and 16. He says this, "The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Our God is an all-providing God. He's the one who makes provision for us and for our every single need. And yet David says, not only does he do that for his own beloved people that he has redeemed, he says he satisfies the desire of every living thing. God is the great provider. He treats us far better than we could ever deserve. Did you listen tonight to some of the pieces that were sung about the grace and the mercy of God and all that he has done for us in Jesus Christ, had it not been for a hill called Mount Calvary? What grace God has shown. What blessings he has lavished upon us as his people. He treats us better than we could ever deserve. He gives and he gives. And he just keeps on giving. Even when men despise him. And even when we forsake him and we do our own thing, he remains faithful. And he graciously provides for his own. The story is told about the American industrialist Henry Ford. He was once asked to donate some money for the construction of a new medical facility, and the billionaire pledged to donate $5,000. The next day in the newspaper, the headline read like this, "Henry Ford contributes $50,000 to the local hospital." When Ford saw it, he was so angry, he got on the phone immediately and he began to complain to the fundraiser, and he told him he'd been misunderstood. He had only pledged to give $5,000. So the fundraiser thought for a moment, and then he replied and he said, "Look, I'll print a retraction in the paper tomorrow just to let you know, Mr. Ford, it will read like this. Henry Ford reduces his donation by $44,000. Realizing the poor publicity, Ford agreed to give him the $50,000 contribution, but he said on one condition. He said that carved out above the entrance to the hospital, "I want the words, 'I came among you and you took me in.'" See, beloved, God doesn't give in bits and pieces. Sometimes when we give grudgingly or because we have to. That's not how God deals with us. He gives to us graciously, unselfishly, and he gives to us abundantly. That's not just temporally, of course, that's also true spiritually. This verse has been quoted twice tonight, once in prayer and once by someone else. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, it's one thing to sit down and think about the goodness of God and the many blessings that he's lavished upon us. Don't ever forget the greatest gift of all. The gift of his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ, who went one day to an old rugged cross and there suffered and bled and died in our guilty room instead. Don't forget that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If you're a Christian tonight, don't ever forget that. In the midst of all the temporal blessings of life, don't lose sight of the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's glorious in his person. He's gracious in his provision. He's good to his people. How do we know that? Verse 18 puts it like this. It says that the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Isn't that amazing? That the Lord preserveth all them that love him. Maybe you're here tonight. And maybe not only has this pandemic been a very difficult part of your journey, but maybe the heart has been knocked out of you for whatever reason that others know absolutely nothing about. I want you to go home and read that. And I want you to think about two very simple things, because these things remind us of God's continuing presence with us. Number one, God hears our prayers. Isn't that amazing? This great God, the group started off tonight as they were singing, leading us in worship to him. And then they sang, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. No one like him. None before him. None above him. He is the only true and living God. And yet the psalmist says he's near to all who call upon him. What a precious promise that is. If you and I thought about David and all that he had to go through in his lifetime, we'd be here the rest of the night. But this man speaking out of a heart of experience. He'd been in exile. Saul sought to kill him. His son Absalom put him on the run. And this man's looking back, reflecting on all of those things and said, look, no matter what, God was there. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. God hears our prayers. God watches over his people. You see, beloved, tonight, David says this, the Lord preserves all those who, what? Love him. That word preserve simply means that God tonight from high heaven is just continually watching over all of his children. Every single one of them. When my children were growing up sometimes, in fact, I remember one night I was up the stairs and I was in bed and I thought, my son's not home yet. And I got up and I said to Kristen, I'm going to give him a phone. I'm going to talk to him. And I got the phone out and I phoned him. I said, Aaron, where are you? He said, Dad, I'm behind you just two steps down. I hadn't a clue where he was because I didn't hear him coming in. God's never caught out with his own children. God knows every detail about your life, every detail about mine, and he continually watches over us. I remember on one occasion being asked by a family, you can ask for many things when you're in pastoral work, but I was asked by a family on one occasion to go and talk to the man of the house. Now, he was 80 years of age, and they said to me, look, I think it's time that Daddy give up driving. I don't know if I've ever tried this or not, but it's interesting. So I went to see the older man anyway, and I used to be when he would come to our house, our children would come flying in up the hill and say, Daddy, Thunderbirds, Thunderbirds, because that's how he tried to come up the drive. But I plucked up the courage and I went to see him. I talked to him and asked him how he felt on the roads, and he said to me, have the family been talking to you? I said, don't you worry about the family. What do you think? The roads are busy. He looked at me and with a big smile on his face, he said to me, Pastor, the Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I said, well, if that's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. You see, beloved, God watches over continually his children. And David trusted the Lord for his protection. As far as God is concerned, he's glorious in his person. There's none like him. There's no one to be compared to him. He's gracious in his provision, not just temporally, but spiritually. He's good to his people. He's only a prayer away. He knows every detail about our lives. And that brings me to number four, and I'll close. He's greatly to be praised. He's greatly to be praised. David says, verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. He ends this psalm just the same way as he had begun it, and he exhorts all of us to join him in the praise and worship and in the adoration of God. He said, let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And whatever others might do in our day and generation that is ever changing and sometimes not too encouraging, you and I as the people of God should be continually praising our God. Tonight I trust you'll do that. Not just at a harvest service, but every single day. You'll remember the greatness and the goodness and every provision that God makes, and you'll sit down before him and you'll be lost in wonder, in love, and in praise. There are many other things in this psalm. Time allows me just these four things. But these things remind us of who our God is, of what he does, how he's always with us. So tonight, get your eyes back on him. Whatever the fears and the worries, as we've heard in the singing, God will take care of that. And God will take care of you. And he'll take care of me. Now, just before I close in prayer, I've been told that that young group that sang at the start is going to come back up again. And they're going to sing a piece. So they're going to come and sing, and then I'll just bring our time to a close in prayer.